Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Sidvale and East Devon Talking Newspaper, edition number 1839, being read on Tuesday, the 24th of September, 2024. I'm Paul Rossiter, your editor, with readers Anne-Marie Irish, Edward Coleman, Linda Haslam, and Tony Charnock. And now for the news. We start with news from Sidmouth, and then move on to Honiton. Then we hear of some items from Ottery St Mary, and finish part one with a roundup of local sports.
Hello, this is Anne-Marie with news from Sidmouth. Sidmouth Independent Lifeboat helped rescue a woman with a suspected broken ankle stranded in a challenging location on Western Beach. Southwestern Ambulance Services Hazardous Area Response Team was already on scene, alongside Beer Coast Guard, providing medical help on Tuesday, September the 16th. A spokesman for Sidmouth Lifeboat said, "Due to the challenging location, it was determined that the best way to transport the injured woman to safety was by lifeboat. The lifeboat crew stretchered her to a suitable landing area, then took her to Sidmouth Lifeboat Station, where she was transferred to a waiting ambulance." A spokesman added, "The swift coordination ensured the casualty's safe and efficient extraction." Fair Trade Fortnight was celebrated in style last Saturday in Sidmouth Library. Residents and visitors were treated to fair trade tea, coffee and biscuits, plus homemade tea bread and flapjacks made with fair trade ingredients. Samples of fair trade chocolate were enthusiastically devoured. Organiser Jill O'Hara of Sidmouth Fair Trade Town Steering Group said, "This was a double celebration, as it's the 30th anniversary of the fair trade mark, and Sidmouth has just successfully renewed its fair trade town status. We have been a fair trade town since 2016. The fair trade mark on a product guarantees that it has been produced in an ethically and climate-friendly way. Fair trade products are readily available in many of Sidmouth's shops and most supermarkets." Seafield Road in Sidmouth is set to close for a month for drainage maintenance. The closure, announced by Devon County Council, will begin on October the 1st and could last up to 18 months, though it is expected to finish by next October. The closure will affect all vehicles, with drivers being directed via Cotmerton Road and Station Road. The work is necessary for the installation of gullies and general drainage system maintenance. The notice was issued by Meg Booth, Director of Climate Change, Environment and Transport at Devon County Council. Sidmouth is all set for Carnival Week. The illuminated procession highlight will light up the town on Saturday, September the 28th from 7:30. Carnival Week itself begins on Sunday, September the 22nd. The procession will start from Woolbrook, then proceeds down into the town. This year, the route is slightly shorter and will be stopping on the seafront zebra crossing, the procession reaching town by 8 p.m. This year is the first year that a programme has been circulated. It costs £1 and can be bought from Sidmouth Post Office, Woolbrook News, Glidden's Cook's Corner, Toffee Nosed Sweet Shop, Sidmouth Tourist Information Centre, Wag and Bone in Sidbury, the Radway Inn and Ford's. The programme has details of the events leading up to the procession, plus a free colouring competition for children with a prize for the winner and the chance to win a £50 voucher for Micah's. Carnival Week includes a bingo night, a Skittles night and a virtual dog show. Seaton and Collerton carnivals have already taken place at the start of September. Budley Salterton Carnival takes place in October. Holly Phillips, chairwoman of Sidmouth Carnival Committee, said, Every year, our costs for keeping the carnival running rise, and this year, our anticipated costs are around £6,000. Every penny and pound counts and is crucial, so please do make sure you come out in force on the night with your change to add to our collection tins throughout the procession.
And now some news from Honiton. This autumn sees two new exhibitions at Thelma Holbert Gallery in Honiton, featuring the work of Philippa Lawrence and Anne Jackson. New and developing works by Philippa are shown in A Space Between. Her work looks at human engagement with the earth and its resources, the shifting values, production and status of materials, art and artifacts. She is involved with ongoing research into our cultural heritage and engagement with the last practitioners of traditional craft skills. The context of where a work is made or shown has always been important for Philippa. For this exhibition, she researched the life of Thelma Holbert, resulting in Honesty, a companion piece, a new work which picks out words from writings held at the gallery about Holbert's life. In the Witchcraft series, Anne Jackson explores the history of witch trials and the power of the witch in our culture, both as metaphor for our fears and as representation of social injustice towards women. She uses historical texts and original illustrations, along with contemporary scientific and cultural reference, to memorialise individual women and comment on ways we try to exert control over our world and our own lives. Her medium, a textile art form called knotted tapestry, uses cotton, linen, and synthetic yarns to create vivid, intensely coloured imagery. Both exhibitions run until November the 2nd. More than 1,000 people from across Devon gathered over the weekend to mark the National Trail Hunting Day amid a potential ban. Members and supporters from more than 15 hunts were at the event on September the 15th at Honiton Showground. The East Devon Hunt hosted the meet, where spectators could see trail hunting in action and meet the hounds. The event was organised by the British Hound Sports Association, that is the BHSA, as part of a nationwide effort to showcase trail hunting. At 30 venues nationwide, the hunting community demonstrated to the public, media and politicians how a pack of hounds hunts trails. Oliver Hughes, managing director of the BHSA, who was at the meet, said thousands of hunt supporters will be gathering at 30 different locations across the country to showcase the legal and legitimate activity of trail hunting. Trail hunting involves laying a scent across the countryside, which a pack of hounds then searches for and follows. The trail can be laid by someone on foot, horseback, or bike. The practice simulates traditional hunting, which was banned in 2005. Regency House at Hemiock offers a plantsman's garden of 5 acres with many interesting trees and shrubs. Visitors are welcome to bring a picnic and try their hand at identifying plants with a comprehensive and amusing plant list. There is a walled vegetable garden, a lake and ponds, bog plantings and sweeping lawns, with the property approached across a small ford. Horses, Dexter cattle and Jacob sheep graze, and there are further lawns, borders and a terrace where teas will be served. It's open on October the 19th and 20th from 2 to 5pm. Groups can also book a guided tour of the gardens up until October the 31st.
And now some news from Ottery St Mary. Up to 65 new homes could be built near Ottery St Mary. KCS Developers has applied to East Devon District Council for planning permission for the scheme in a field just off Strawberry Lane near Ottery. The proposal is to build up to 65 dwellings and associated infrastructure and works. The 9.64 hectare field is currently empty with new development houses next door to it. The site has several constraints, including mature trees, overhead electric lines, below ground gas mains, water mains and telecoms, which will stay for the new houses. The bottom of the field is within a flood zone. A green corridor between Strawberry Lane and the development will be created, making it easy for residents to walk into the area of outstanding natural beauty or Ottery St Mary Town Centre. The 65 homes will consist of several different styles and types of two-storey dwellings built using red brick or render, which the applicants say blends in with the other houses around the town. Each house will have either driveways or detached garages. The current landscape around the field will stay with trees and hedgerows. As part of the development, a central green space with an equipped children's play area is proposed and allotments. The KCS developers said in its application, "The overall concept is to deliver a quality residential development that maximises the site and integrates the proposal with the surrounding area. It is our prime design aim to integrate any new development into the existing local fabric of Ottery St Mary while creating unique visual identity through the sensitivity of the overall strategy using good building design and an intelligent use of limited palette of materials. The development and its associated landscape edge provides a clear visual enhancement to the local area. The application is due to be reviewed by planning officers. The application reference number 24/1716/MOUT can be read in full and commented on at the planning section of the District Council's website, eastdevon.gov.uk. A classic car show in Ottery St Mary saw its biggest turnout in 13 years. On Sunday, August 25th, Chantres Carnival Classics attracted more than 500 classic vehicles, including cars, bikes and stationary engines, despite previous bad weather. The show, held at Chantres House, has been a staple in the community for 13 years, raising funds for the tar barrels through donations. This year it managed to raise £9,500. The vehicles, all lovingly maintained by their owners, came from all over the country, bringing together a mix of loyal regulars and new entrants. The Ivor Cobbledick Shield went to E North for a 1955 BSA Rocket Gold Star, while R. Jenkins' 1964 Morris Minor pickup won the Mike Skane Shield. Other winners included J. Wicks with a 1947 Rover Tourer, B. Taylor with a 1929 Cord, P. Sparks with a 1968 Ford Fiesta XR2, and D. Cheeseman with a half-size New Holland, who bagged the MNR Mowers Trophy. The event, sponsored by Hall Estate Agents and East Devon Law, was more than just a display of vehicles. Visitors enjoyed a range of activities, including a dog show, a duck race and a rodeo ball. Ottery St Mary Bowling Club's season concluded on a high note, with regional matches and visiting teams brightening the last days, writes Clive Russell. On September the 13th, Shaftesbury Bowling Club met Ottery at Strawberry Lane. Not only was it a battle of skills on the green, but the catering team also impressed with the delicious lunch. The annual Chairman's Day on Sunday, spearheaded by new chairman Carl Gilliard, saw teammates divided into North and East England versus South and West. The fierce competition ensued, but off the field the players enjoyed an excellent cream tea. Breedon Bowling Club, commonly known as the BBC, made their annual visit from Worcestershire. A great game ensued, with Ottery marking a substantial win. On Sunday, September the 22nd, we'll bring the final drive. The club will then close for the winter and start preparing for the next season, starting on April the 13th, 2025. Reflecting on the season, a new player said, "Our first season has been so much fun." Ottery St Mary Town Council manages the waiting list for the allotments in Higher Ridgeway and says there is currently a plot available to rent that is suitable for disability access. If you are interested in joining the waiting list for this or any other plot, please contact the Town Council offices on 01404 812252 or email admin@ottery-st-mary-tc.gov.uk.
And this is Tony with a roundup of local sport. In cricket, Tipton St John triumphed over neighbours Ottery St Mary, shaking off an early setback to secure a victory, writes Phil Wright. A critical 145-run partnership between Dave Thayer and John Buckland recovered Tipton's position after losing two wickets with only six on the board. Adam Gibbins' swift 52 runs off 29 balls, together with Amelia Tolley, raised Tipton's score to 241 for four. Strong bowling performances from Owen Smith and David Birch deepened Ottery's woes, causing a regular loss of wickets. Brendan Coles restrained 46 runs over 26 overs with the only counter-attack after Tolley claimed the wicket of George Davey. Dave Alford clinched three wickets for a meagre six runs, resulting in Ottery's capitulation for 152. The victory served as payback for Tipton with Ottery's prior win. Sidmouth Golf Club's finals day kicked off on the heels of a lively weekend, beginning with the Sidmouth Jewellers' Friday Stableford, which saw Mike Williams notch the highest score of 38 points. And in a first for the club, 12-year-old Archie Griffiths made history as the youngest player to clinch the prestigious Challenge Cup in its 130-year history. He beat David Pepperell 5-4, watched by supporters. Rugby. Ollie Rice and Rhys Williams both scored try hat-tricks for Honiton in a 62-6 win over newly promoted Tamar Saracens on the All Hallows ground. With Jack Fahey and Isaac Dalton back in the fold after stints with Exmouth and Taunton Titans respectively, and the return of Dean Norman after a break from the game, Honiton looked the stronger team. Dalton was among the scorers in the first half as Honiton raced into a 31-3 lead with the four try bonus points safely stashed. And separately, a last-minute penalty allowed Ivybridge a narrow victory against Sidmouth 34-32. A game that the Chiefs should have won was handed over owing to a penalty from the touchline during injury time. Occasionally, it is worth reflecting on what success in sport really looks like. Is it measured by silverware alone, or by a much wider set of parameters? The long-term flowering of a club, say, or the depth of regional pride? The biggest compliment you could pay Rob Baxter, the Premiership's longest-serving one-club director of rugby, is that once unfashionable Exeter is now the last place where opponents want to kick off a brand new season. In a decade and a half under Baxter's stewardship, among other things, the Chiefs have yet to lose a round one game at Sandy Park. Their intense pre-season fitness work at the Royal Marines Commando Training Centre at Limpston and the intricate tactical planning of Baxter and his fellow coaches mean the Devonians remain a force at their hilltop lair above Junction 30 of the M5. While it does not always result in trophies in June, an increasingly youthful Chiefs side have not been domestic champions since 2020 and know they need to improve their mediocre away form. Everything is relative. 15 years ago, Exeter were playing in the Championship against Moseley, Birmingham, Solihull and Rotherham. Baxter's remarkable achievement in propelling his local side into the Premiership in his first season in permanent charge in 2009-10 still rates highly among British sport's greatest awakening. So what advice, after all these years embedded deep in the English club game, would the seasoned chief give? Baxter has plenty of wisdom to dispense, though he dislikes being perceived as some kind of grey-bearded elder. I'm only 53. There are a lot of coaches out there who are a darn sight older than I am. I don't see them being asked every 5 minutes if they're still energetic and enthusiastic about the game. If I'd moved jobs 3 times in those 15 years, I probably wouldn't get asked that. I'm a decent way from retirement, and I still think there's an awful lot to achieve here. Point taken.
And now some news of what's on. Today, on Saturday, the 28th of September, Sidmouth Repair Cafe meets at a new venue, St. Francis Hall, Woolbrook, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Bring along any computers or electronic equipment to be seen to, any clothes or textiles needing a little TLC, and any machines or furniture to be fixed. Free entry to all, refreshments available. Find us on Facebook as Sidmouth Repair Cafe. There's also a coffee morning at Sidmouth Parish Church from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. with handmade cards, books, bric-a-brac and raffle. Everyone welcome. It's £1.50 with a free refill, and it's run by the Friends of Sidmouth Parish Church. Also, the Chit Rocks Beach Ramp Project is meeting from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Come along to our information event on site, find out more and lend your support. See Facebook or Instagram pages, or email chitrocksidmouth@gmail.com. In the evening, the Norman Lockyer Observatory has an open evening on Salcombe Hill at 7:30. The theme is Saturn in opposition, famous telescopes, and some talk about meteorology. Any inquiries on 01395 579941 or email inquiries@normanlockyer.org. And you've already heard about the illuminated carnival procession with floats and walking groups leaving Woolbrook at 7:30 and finishing at the seafront. In part two, we have more news from Sidmouth and also from Ottery St Mary. Then we'll take a trip round the villages of Tipton St John, Newton Pulford and Sidbury. And finally, some features about Devon and East Devon in general.
Anne-Marie again with some more Sidmouth news. A Sidmouth paramedic has swapped her ambulance uniform for a new role after 33 years. Lisa Craig has left the South West Ambulance Service to become a celebrant. She will now be creating personal ceremonies for funerals, weddings, vow renewals and baby namings. She said, "I have absolutely loved being a paramedic, working initially in Yeovil, but for the last 25 years in East Devon. I have finally said goodbye to my colleagues in the ambulance service, but am now looking after people in a different way." Lisa believes her new job is a natural progression from her previous role. She said, "Celebrancy seems like a natural progression to me. It's listening to people's stories, celebrating different stages of life, and honouring everything that makes people unique. I feel very honoured each time I'm able to help a family celebrate a lost loved one, hearing their story, supporting the family and friends, and making sure that their funeral or celebration of life reflects that person." In her new role, Lisa also takes part in weddings and vow renewals. She said, "With a wedding or vow renewal, I have the privilege of telling the couple's love story and absolutely making their ceremony bespoke to them. I can perform these ceremonies anywhere, in a cave, on a beach, in a hotel or back garden. The choice is endless." Despite her new career, she is still proud to be a registered paramedic and often has people knocking on her door or asking for help. She says her new role doesn't change that, but enables her to continue to serve her community uniquely. Her services are detailed on her website, ceremonieswithlisa.co.uk. East Devon District Council and Rockfish have signed a lease agreement for the chain to open a restaurant on Sidmouth Seafront. Planning permission was granted in June for Rockfish to open a restaurant on the site of the old drill hall and adjacent public toilets. Now an agreement has been signed by both parties for the public toilet site at Port Royal. The toilets will remain open and maintained by the council until Rockfish works start, possibly next month. A stellar lineup has been finalised for the 2025 Sidmouth International Jazz and Blues Festival, taking place from Friday, May the 23rd to Monday, May the 26th, coinciding with the spring bank holiday weekend. Organisers of the festival promise to build on the tremendous success of the previous 3 years with a stellar lineup of world-class international talent. Blackmore Gardens will be the festival's heart and main performance venue, hosting 4 evening headline concerts. Sidmouth Steppers are holding free taster sessions in October to entice new members to join their group. The events take place on Tuesday, October the 1st and Tuesday, October the 8th at the Guide Hut, Lawn Vista in Sidmouth. The group is on the lookout for dancers, musicians and acoustic instruments. Sidmouth Steppers performed most recently at the Folk Festival. Alexa Baker of Sidmouth Steppers said, "We enjoyed dancing and had a lovely reception from the crowd." John Lewis said, "Celebrating the start of Folk Week is always a great experience. It's a wonderful opportunity to dance and to meet up with old friends."
And now some news from Tipton St John. Campaigners hoping to keep Tipton St John Primary School in the village have presented councillors with a petition containing nearly 1,000 signatures. Judith Taylor, who represents the group, gave the document to Devon County Council's full council meeting as part of moves to try to keep the school in the community. Its future remains uncertain as the Department for Education, the DFE, has agreed to fund a new building at Ottery St Mary, with the council providing the land and paying for work such as road access. Former East Devon Conservative MP Simon Jupp, who lost his seat in the last election, has campaigned on the issue and earlier this year welcomed the then Education Secretary Gillian Keegan to the school to urge that work begin quickly. The DFE's preferred location for a new school is 2 miles away, but campaigners who oppose this are growing louder. There is strong support to retain the school, which has existed for more than 180 years in the village, as it is a vital resource for our area, Judith said. It is a popular school, and local parents choose to send their children there due to it being a small rural school. It has a good reputation, but it is the quality of its rural location that is a key driver for most parents. It's important that small rural schools are supported, as they provide many benefits over the above their academic value. She added, "There were multiple sites in Tipton St John that could accommodate a new school, and that reports reviewed by campaigners led them to believe that sites in Tipton have not been reviewed fairly or without bias to date." She added, "Historically, there have been ongoing discussions of moving the school to nearby Ottery St Mary, and we feel this has clouded the assessment of potential sites in Tipton. Following parliamentary boundary changes in the last election, Tipton St John is now in the new constituency of Honiton and Sidmouth, represented by Liberal Democrat MP Richard Ford, who said he would prefer the school to stay in the village. And now we go on to Newton Poppleford. Plans have been approved to install a new public footbridge and to fix a failed retaining wall in Little Meadow in Newton Poppleford's High Street. Applicants Mr and Mrs Bewes of Little Meadow have had their plans approved by East Devon District Council. The application stated no development shall take place until a detailed scheme to mitigate impacts to biodiversity and fish is submitted to and approved by local planning. Little Meadow is in the centre of Newton Poppleford, backing on to the Back Brook, which runs into the River Otter. A small private pedestrian footbridge over the brook was washed away and damaged by recent flooding. Since then, the bridge has been temporarily propped up with emergency props and scaffolding. Plans involve building a new concrete block wall along the original wall and a recessed stepped wall to form the new bridge and replace the concrete pad. Both will be faced with render and cobbles, and applicants say it will be of more robust construction. And now we continue with news from Sidbury. Devon and Cornwall police say a man has died following a single vehicle collision on the A375 at Sidbury. Emergency services were notified at approximately 10:30 a.m. on Friday, September the 13th, to a collision involving a Renault Master van. Crews and officers from Devon and Cornwall Police, South West Ambulance Service, Devon and Somerset Fire and Rescue, and Devon Air Ambulance were all sent to the scene. The road was closed all day and only reopened at around 7 p.m. A spokesman for Devon and Cornwall Police said, "Unfortunately, as a result of the incident, the driver, who was in his 50s, was pronounced deceased at the scene." His next of kin were informed. The A375 was closed to allow for a forensic examination of the scene and recovery of the vehicle. Officers from the roads policing team are appealing for witnesses to the incident to come forward by calling 101 or reporting via the force website quoting log 0229 13/09/2024.
And now some more news from Ottery St Mary. Devon and Cornwall Police is inviting residents of Ottery to take part in a new community survey. Questions asked include, what issues are affecting your area? How safe do you feel walking alone after dark? What is good about your neighbourhood? Inspector Steve Phillip, Neighbourhood Policing Lead, said, "We want to better understand what's great and what's not so great about where people live so we can work with residents to tackle any worries and issues. Your opinions will influence the community engagement and delivery of services within your area." A recent report positively highlighted our approach to neighbourhood policing, but we know we can do more to serve our communities. This is an opportunity to share your views, and I want to encourage as many people as possible to fill out the survey. He said the report from His Majesty's Inspectorate of Constabulary and Fire and Rescue Services shows the force works well with communities to understand their needs, building the public's trust and confidence and encouraging them to share information to help prevent and detect crime. The survey can be accessed via the Devon and Cornwall Police website. The opening of Ella Rosina Patisserie is set to take place on Saturday, September the 28th. The new cake shop at 9 Silver Street will be offering a selection of pastries, cakes, cream teas and deli light lunches. The business has been founded by local entrepreneur Connie Reeves, a graduate of the prestigious Leith School of Food and Wine. Ella Rosina Patisserie is not just about indulgent treats. It's the culmination of a hard-fought personal journey. A single mum with a passion for culinary excellence, Connie grew up on a strawberry farm. The shop is named after her grandmother. Connie said, "I want to create a space where people could not only enjoy high-quality food, but also feel immersed in beauty, comfort and creativity. This shop represents my journey, my passion for food and the love I have for this town. Whether it's a mid-morning croissant, a delicious lunch or an afternoon treat, every item is crafted with the finest ingredients and a lot of love. The patisserie's decor has been meticulously planned to create an atmosphere that is both luxurious and inviting, but also a little bit bonkers." A cancer charity centre is celebrating 20 years of helping people. The Force Support and Information Centre opened its doors to the public on September 20th, 2004, and has since become a sanctuary for thousands of people across Devon and beyond. The centre was built on the grounds of the Royal Devon and Exeter Hospital's Wonford site after a successful £900,000 appeal. In its first year, the centre had around 9,000 visits, nearly double the original projection. That figure rose to more than 20,000 within a relatively short space of time. Due to the high demand for support, a £350,000 extension was added in 2012 to provide larger rooms for support groups and classes. This was followed by an outreach programme taking support into the wider communities of Tiverton, Okehampton and Honiton, since replaced by Ottery St Mary, as well as funding outreach chemotherapy nurses. When it comes to cycling, Ottery St Mary stands out as a unique and beloved destination for enthusiasts. Its cycling club, with many of the old Ottery family names mentioned in the Western Times in 1906, is a testament to the town's rich cycling history. Its charm has been recognised nationally, having hosted the prestigious Tour of Britain twice in two consecutive years. Chineway Hill was featured as the first King of the Mountain stages, 2 and 3, of the Tour of Britain in 2016 and 2018. The King and Queen of the Mountain competition on Chineway has been going on for 3 years. The Bike Fest at the Land of Canaan, where our youngsters competed for a medal and took part in a demonstration from Speedway in Exeter, and the Primary School Mini Hill Climb, where pupils compete for the John Campion Trophy, are just a few examples of our vibrant cycling culture. Ottery goes above and beyond catering for cyclists. With its numerous cafes, pubs and restaurants, the town is ready to satisfy the cyclist's staple diet of coffee and cake. Whether you're competing, spectating or simply exploring on your bike, you can always find a place to relax and enjoy the unique experience that Ottery has to offer.
And some news from around the wider area. The police are asking residents in Exmouth and East Devon to report incidents of bad driving across the county. As part of Operation Snap, members of the public can report evidence and submit digital footage online. Offences that police can review include dangerous driving, driving while using a mobile phone, driving without due care and attention, careless driving, overtaking on solid white lines, not being in proper control of the vehicle, traffic light contravention, or any other road traffic offence that is clearly shown in the footage. Operation Snap is not for reporting a road traffic collision. You should do this by calling 101, and parking complaints should be submitted to the local council. Exmouth Sector Inspector Grant Leach said, "Exmouth and the roads around it are very busy with lots of vehicles. Drivers are not always as patient as they should be, and some dangerous drivers may be tempted to drive too fast or attempt risky manoeuvres to try and get somewhere a bit quicker. We also have those behind the wheel who cause a nuisance late at night for residents by revving their engines. This is particularly noticeable on the Esplanade along the seafront. Most motorists in the town are law-abiding, and we are grateful for the public's help to catch the antisocial minority who cause problems and misery for others. Please submit footage to help Operation Snap so we can investigate these incidents. Here in Exmouth, we have hard-working local police teams who look out for offenders, and we can also count on the extra support of the Force Roads Policing Team, who are experts in their field. We will also carry out covert road operations where necessary. The Devon and Cornwall Police No Excuses traffic team visited Exmouth recently and during 5 dates in July issued 9 tickets to motorists for various traffic offences. More than 6,000 videos were submitted to Devon and Cornwall Police via OpSnap throughout 2023, making it the busiest year in its history. OpSnap was set up in the region in 2019 and allows footage to be submitted from various sources, whether it's a dash cam, helmet camera, mobile phone, or even a video doorbell. Since 2019, the force has taken action against almost 10,000 motorists, and details of the operation and of how to submit evidence are at www.devon-cornwall.police.uk/opsnap. East Devon District Council has signed the Armed Forces Covenant. The initiative ensures fair treatment for armed forces members, veterans and their families. The covenant was signed on September the 10th by Councillor Paul Arnott and Major Mark Lathan RM as part of the Council's 50th anniversary celebrations. Councillor Vicky Johns, the Council's Armed Forces Champion, said, "I feel as a nation our serving personnel have been overlooked for far too long, and the signing of this Armed Forces Covenant goes a small way to ensure that they are no longer overlooked." East Devon hosts the Royal Marines Commando Training Centre in Limpston. The event was attended by council officers, current and former councillors, armed forces members, reflecting the council's appreciation for their community contribution. A plaque was unveiled at the Blackdown House Council headquarters in Honiton, and a tree was planted at the nearby business centre to commemorate the council's 50th anniversary. Several pharmacies in Devon have closed over the past 2 years, new figures reveal, as hundreds have shut down across England. An analysis by the National Pharmacy Association found pharmacy closures had disproportionately affected deprived and rural areas. It warned people in these areas will now have to travel longer and longer distances to get hold of the medication they need. The figures show that there were 133 pharmacies in Devon this year, down from 142 2 years ago. Devon was one of the hardest hit areas in the southwest, with 9 pharmacies closing during this period. The analysis also reveals 87% of council areas in England have seen the closure of at least one pharmacy in the past 2 years. Paul Rees, chief executive of the NPA, said a growing number of areas are at risk of becoming pharmacy deserts, with people in rural areas having to travel longer distances to get hold of the medication they need. "Many pharmacies are on the brink because of a decade of real-term cuts," he said. And on a lighter note, Clive Williams writes, "I was at Boots in 4 Street, Sidmouth last week and noted that their employees are now store colleagues. Apart from government and the railways, no one seems to have staff anymore. Common euphemisms seem to be team members, associates, crew, partners, talent, people, casts or contributors, to name a few. I doubt that working conditions have improved as a result of these changed descriptors, but I'd be happy for someone to reach out to me, i.e. contact me, to convince me otherwise."
Well, that's all for this edition. My thanks to our readers, our producer Mike Newman, and our registrars Carol Laird and Val Rowley. Should you have any problems with your equipment, please contact Wendy Eagles on 07552 766 382. May I remind you to ensure your wallet is returned promptly. As we pass the autumn equinox on Sunday, you may wish to close your curtains any time after 7 p.m. and open them after 6:45 a.m. Finally, our thanks to the editors of the Sidmouth Herald, Express and Echo, Devon Life and The Guardian, from which we have taken today's articles. You'll hear from this team again on the 12th of November. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.